خوب پچتائے دعا کر کے عمر سے
اپنے. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اسٹیم لسنرز آف سیریس ایف ایم اینڈ مرکز صحابہ, دا وائس آف اہل سنہ والجماعہ, وی ویلکم یو ٹو آور پروگرام الفقہ علی المذاہب الاربعہ, جورسپروڈنس اکارڈنگ ٹو دا فور اسکولس آف تھاٹ. ٹوڈیز ڈیٹ از دا 15th آف ربیع الآخر 1444, کورسپونڈنگ ٹو دا گریگورین کیلنڈر, دیٹ از دا 10th آف نومبر 2022. ٹوڈے آور ٹاپک از آن کسٹڈی اینڈ آور آنربل مفتی صاحب از ہیئر. لیٹس ویلکم مفتی صاحب. مفتی صاحب, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بارک اللہ فیکم معزز عید خان, جزاک اللہ خیرا.
مفتی صاحب, what is the literal meaning of hadana and what does it mean?
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم, اما بعد, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you study the philology, history of this word, ha, dhad, noon, and now you use it in the Arabic language, you will say, qabilahu bilhidni, that he embraced him with full, you know, open heart, open hands and so forth. So it's a sign of welcoming, it's a sign of appreciating, it's a sign of love. So all that will be included in the lexicon, in the literal meaning. And then when you look at the technical meaning, according to the fuqaha and jurors of Islam, hadana means hifadatul waladi saghir, that you have to take care, and take care has many meanings, a broad connotation of the child that is very, very small, a minor child, for example. So who has the custody, they have to take care, or they will take welfare, and whatever is beneficial for the child, so all that will come into it, provided that is permissible for the child, not now haram things for the child.
Mufti Sahib, what are the benefits of raising children?
Remember that when a person brings up children, so one is you, as parents, you bring up children, so that is jihad also. And if you look at one Quranic verse and you look at one Hadith Sharif, then you will understand. And if you look at another Hadith also, which I'll cite. So look at the Quran Sharif, chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse 24. And now you, Maulana, you have children, mashallah, daughters. So what you see, you have experience, so you have to teach your children. And obviously you are doing that. So Rabbirhamhuma, that the children must never ever forget what the parents did for them, the mother, the father, and especially what the mother. Rabbirhamhuma, O Allah, have mercy on my parents. Kama rabbayani, as they made my tarbiyah. You see the word rabbayani from tarbiyah. That they nurtured me, they coached me, they trained me. They taught me how to walk, they taught me how to talk, they taught me how to eat, they taught me how to drink, they taught me how to relieve myself. Kama rabbayani saghira, when I was an infant, when I was very young. So that is why that parents have such a huge, great rank and status in Islam. And remember this, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, for a father, and a mother also will come in, but especially the father, that what is the best gift we can give for our children? You know, sometimes you don't read things in a book. Allah Ta'ala, out of His fadl, grace, mercy, puts things in your head. So that is, you must remember, I call it the C syndrome, A, B, C. Look at parents today, Muslim, non-Muslim. You'll hardly find a difference. But anyway, let's go on with the topic. So the emphasis is on which type of clothing they're going to wear, the children, the boy, the girl. Then when they grow up, little bit, they want money. Even they know that they don't want coins, they want paper money, you see, notes. So that's C, cash. So first one, C, clothing. Second one, C, cash. Then they grow up a little bit more, then they want cell phone. that they cry the whole time. You see, small children, that they're playing with cell phone, and we consider it a sign how intelligent my son, my daughter is. He, she knows how to make a call, how to receive the call, all that. So that is now C for cell. So A, that you see, first one C for clothing. Second one C for cash. Third one C for cell phone. Fourth one C for computers, you see. Then when they grow up, then C for car. So you must remember that. Then another one C, you must remember, will be that, you know, cricket and us and all these type of things will go on. So remember, but the greatest C, that is where Muslim parents now are failing in their duty. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us Surah 66 verse 6. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That, O you who believe, save yourself, save your children from the fire. See, that is compulsory upon the parents. Now hadith in Tirmidhi, which is the best gift to give to our beloved children? And tell me, if you put on a percentage scale today, how many parents really bother about this? Ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. Wa atun nisa'a sadaqatihinna nihla, Quran speaks of. So mahar is a gift. So you father, you mother also, the best gift you can give your children, grandchildren, is good character. So if you just look at this, I mean, you Mazahid, you got experience that on this issue, you got children, mashallah, you interact with many people. Put 100 Muslim parents. I think if you find 10% also will be lucky. 90%, they got no time. You must remember, for their children, they buy the love. They don't share the love. Where's the quality time parents spend with their children? Ask the father, when last did he have a heart-to-heart talk with his daughter regarding her tarbiyah, regarding her character? Just do this. I'm busy. Yes, I'm going shop, I'm going job, I'm going golf, I'm going cricket, I'm going So that is the rat race of today. And if the daughter cries or son cries, he just take this 110,000 and go from here. So we're not giving them what Islam said. So that is a khami, that is a deficiency, a nuks, you must remember, in us. The mother, same thing. When last did she have a heart-to-heart talk with a beloved son? You must remember that. You will hardly find it. It's just that do your homework, make your bed, clean your room, do this. But the real thing what Islam is teaching about, so your child will have direction in life. Your child will not become one who will sell the deen and sell his soul and all that for the sake of dollars and so forth. So that is where we are failing, because we are not even leading by example. Which Muslim parent today is not smoking? The mother or father or both of them are smoking, but they tell the child, don't smoke. Which father, mother today is not addicted to the TV and to the cell phone, but they will tell the child that, no, you mustn't watch the TV. These small little eyes, these small little ears, they observe everything, they hear everything. We might think they don't know, but they know. They're like a sponge, you know. That sponge, it what? It absorbs everything. So that's what they do. So the best way for tarbiyah is that we lead by example. Second, we spend quality time with them. And when we were growing up, so where we were with our parents all the time. So besides going to school, besides going to madrasa, and a little bit soccer, cricket, all that in the afternoon or in the weekend, the rest of the time, we were there. The parents' gaze was always there. Today, if you ask that, where is your son? Where is your daughter weekends? And now holiday will come December time. They don't even know where the daughter is spending the night. You must remember this. Just yesterday I got a question. Our daughter said she can't stay with us. She wants her own life, all that. So she moved out. After 1 month, 2 months, they realize she's sleeping with a non-Muslim male, committing zina, everything with him. So this is Muslim I'm speaking about. So that is why we need to understand this issue properly and not only wonder what we went wrong with. Then we just, it's a cycle, it's a, you know, connection. our income must be halal. And then number two, that what we consume must be halal. And then kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan. Then that will prompt, motivate, inspire the person to do good deeds. And the converse will apply. When our income is tainted, polluted, and no care, la parwa policy, then we eat also anything. In English, what you say, you are what you eat. And then for people to commit vices becomes so easy. So that is where the ummah is today. You know, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri rahimahullah, Hazrat passed there in 77. So with Allah's favor, Fadl, we were there 74, 75, 76, 77, Hazrat passed away. So we heard himself saying this. Ye itna afsos hai, ke so much regret we have to say, when people going for Umrah, so Hajj, Makkah, Mukarrama, Ziyarat, Madinah, Munawwara, we have to tell them, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat. The Jutlas, the Jews, the enemies of Islam have manipulated our Haramain Sharifain. So now you find every almost haram outlet there. The McDonald's are there, the KFC are there, and that, I don't even know all the names, you must remember. So now all this imported meat, you must remember, coming, Al-Humul Mustawrada. So now how our du'as will be accepted when we are consuming, I say it's haram, but if you don't say haram, remember definitely it's doubtful. There's no question about that. So even their own ulama, I have books of the ulama of Saudi and that who wrote books on this, Al-Humul Mustawrada, imported meat and so forth. So when we look at the topic, then it was a ploy by the enemies, you must remember, that these Muslims, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million gathering, now they're speaking of 10, 20, 30 million per year must come for Umrah and Hajj and so, because they're money-making game, nothing to do with Hajj and it's just, you must remember, money must roll. So it's not yu'minuna bil ghaib, it's yu'minuna bil jayb story. So how much money we can make out of it. So that is the whole aim. So where are you going to bother now? This is halal, this is haram. I just tell you halal. If you tell them that now meat will go from South Africa, they'll tell you, yeah, they're Ahli Kitab, they're Christians, and they say, it's jais. But now jais, who slaughtered it? What are the conditions? So what the problem is, they take one juice and the conditions, one part of it, the conditions, conveniently they throw it away. So how can we justify all that? It's totally haram, obviously.
Mufti, people say if you have three daughters, you are jannati. Is this true?
Yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ala jariyatain, that if a person, you must remember, brings up two, three, four daughters, then remember that because you bring them up and all the sacrifice you made, then when they reach the age of 18, 17, 19, 20, so then you're going to give them to somebody else. So now, you know, when my sister got married, so it so happened that I was walking and my father was walking and I saw the tears rolling down. So I was wondering, I was very young. So, but I mean, you're supposed to be happy, you know, that my sister, your daughter is getting married. But then you understand that we're giving a pure daughter to you, you understand? Now, will that husband look after her? Will he be loyal to her? Will he be a character? And, you know, all this type of thing. So all these thoughts go. Therefore, in Arabic, we have a wonderful saying. Hammul, for you, Maulana, you must write it with gold because you got four daughters now. Hammul banat ilal mamat. Hammul banat ilal mamat. So the worry of daughters will continue till you die. So the sons you have, they get married, then most of the time they settle down and so forth. And even if something happens, then Allah gave them that ability, they can still stand on their feet and so forth. But daughter, Allah forbid, the husband passes away and she's just 20 years old and she got a child and so forth. So now what happens? I mean, this is not far-fetched. Today, so many has happened. My small little town, Heidelberg, So they used to call it one corner, widow's corner, you know. You go this side, the husband pastor. You go that side, the husband pastor. You go this side. So about 5, 6, 7 ladies there, all of them, their husbands passed away. So the point is this. So the parents, obviously, they love their children, but the worry and concern will be more for the daughter compared to the son. Because now we brought her up, she's a virgin, then we give her to somebody in marriage. Will that marriage work out and so forth or not? And then they'll have children and a lot of issues. So therefore, hammul banat ilal mamat. So that is what you... It's not a hadith. It's just a proverb, a saying in the Arabic language.
Mufti Sahib, with our focus on custody, who took care of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after his honorable mother passed away?
When we look at Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Quran Sharif speaks of it in Surah Wad-Duha. Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before the Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the auspicious birth, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father passed away, Abdullah Day in Medina Munawwara. This was prior to the Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's honorable mother, they were coming, returning from Medina, coming back to Makkah, in a place called Abwa, there she passes away. So now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there. Now who's going to take care? Allah Jalla Wala, in His infinite grace, mercy, benevolence, chose an African lady. A dark-looking lady, African lady. Her name, Baraka. Wonderful name for your daughters, Baraka, Mubaraka, Mabruka. You can choose all these names. Here, I gave you 3 names for you, the listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Baraka, Allah give blessing. What is Baraka? Al-Ashya'ul Qaleela wal-Manafi'ul Kathira. We have limited money, but the benefit is so much. We have limited time, but people benefit like that. So remember this. So Mabruka, Allah Ta'ala keep on giving barakah like that. Mubaraka, the person is Allah maj'alni mubaj'alani mubarakan aynama kun. So wherever I am, I'm mubarak. So you must, whether you're in safar or hadar, in traveling or at home or whatever, like that. So great meaning there, remember this. So this Baraka, African lady, her kunyat Agdoman Umme Iman. So the African lady brought Habibuna, you can understand, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, heartbroken, hazin, and very, very sad. My mother passed away. The Master alayhi salam is already yatim. In Islam, yatim's definition is 2 things. Man mata abu, the person's father passed away. The mother can be alive, but you're still yatim. But remember, once you reach the age of puberty, then you're no more yatim. Hadith in the Muslim Sharif. وَلَا يُتْمَى بَعْدَ اِحْتِلَامٍ. Once you attain the age of puberty, now you're no more yatim. So, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father passed away, so yatim. Now the mother also passed away. When we were in school, I'm speaking of the 60s now. So when they would teach us the Western definition of an orphan, they said that whosoever the parents passed away. Islam rejects that. Islam says, man mata abu, whose father passes away, biological father, now you yatim. Even if your mother is alive and you are a minor, you have not reached the age of puberty. So these are the 2 conditions. So she, Sayyida Ayman radiallahu anha, Baraka radiallahu anha, she brings the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah. She takes care of the Nabi alayhi salam. The uncle was there, the grandfather was there, all of them. Abdul Muttalib was there, then Abu Talib. But the woman who was the motherly figure, it was she, the African lady. We in South Africa, we know our apartheid history and so forth. We, the Muslims, supposed to present this to the world, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Hadana and Hadina and the lady who took care, in whose custody the Master alayhi salatu salam was, an African lady, to show humanity and remember, see the akhlaq-e kareema, the noble character of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Master sallallahu alaihi, he has grown up and now he's going to call her. How does he address her, the African lady? Ummi ba'da ummi. See, ummi ba'da ummi. You are my mother after my biological mother. How elated, how honored she felt, an African lady. So remember this. Then she goes and marries who? That Zayd radiallahu an, Zayd bin Harisa. From that marriage, you must remember Usama radiallahu an, who is born. Usama was dark in complexion, and Zayd was fair in complexion. And then some people were making stories. So Nabi alayhi salatu, or that person said, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed it, that father and son were sleeping. Inna hadhil aqdam ba'duha min ba'd. That the feet are one to another, meaning father, son. So father fair, Allah elevated him. Only person whose name among sahaba is mentioned in the noble Quran, falamma qada zaydun minha. So they did the same Zayd. So remember Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala an. And remember this, that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala so spoke about him and about both of them, father and son. So remember, Hibbu ibn Hibbi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them beloved to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are titled Usama the son and Zayd the father, both Mahbub. So you say Hibbu ibn Hibbi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them so beloved to Almighty Allah, beloved to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hibbu ibn Hibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is their title. They have a book also on that. Hibbu ibn Hibbi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is how Almighty Allah jalla wala elevated the Sahaba. Just while we're on this topic, let me just fast forward. If you want the verse where Zayd radiallahu anhu's name is mentioned, open Surah Ahzab, chapter number 33 and verse 37, you will find there, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدُ مِنَا, regarding his nikah to Sayyidah Zainab binti Jahsh. The nikah didn't work and so forth, then there was divorce. Allah elevated Zayd, that you heard what Allah had to say, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your name is in the Quran forever. You, Sayyidah Zainab, you were reluctant, but you said, no, Allah says so, Nabi alayhi salam say, I'll marry him. And Allah Ta'ala elevated you, Zawwajnakaha. After the iddat, everything, her iddat, her nikah is performed by Allah himself. Allah performed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nikah to Sayyidah Zainab binti Jash. So therefore she should tell the ladies that your family performed your nikah, but my nikah Allah himself Jalla Jalaluhu performed. So all this you will find in this verse, chapter 33, verse number 37. So that is the lesson we must learn from there. Now just fast forward. This hadith I'm mentioning now is in Sahih Muslim. This Umme Ayman, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise takes place. She's crying, Shaykhain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, go and visit her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go visit her, so they also went. And she was sobbing, weeping. She cried so much, she made them cry. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is crying, Sayyidina Umar is crying. Then they said, Ya Umme Ayman, is not Nabi alayhi wa sallam gone to a better place? She said, 100% I agree. Then why are you crying so much? She not only loved the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had custody as well. But remember, she loved the message of the messenger. She says that now, after the demise of the master, alayhi wa sallam, the words used, that the ta'alluq and connection between the arsh and the farsh, between the heavens and the earth is finished. Innal wahya qadin qata. No more wahi will come. So I'm weeping, sobbing, crying. The messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and the message has stopped coming also. Imagine. So that are the lessons we must teach our children. Today we go teach them all fairy tales, you know. So therefore they look like, you understand, cartoons themselves. They walk like a cartoon and like a junkie also. Because we brought them up like that. I don't say all, but many of them, you just see the way they talk, the way they walk. You can see this mota is watching too many cartoons, you know. Or the father, mother, busy with Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, Tiger Hood, you know. So all the shaitaniyat is there.
Mufti Sahib, who is more deserving for the custody of the child?
Remember that now divorce has taken place, and now they are masoom, innocent children. So now Islam is a complete, comprehensive code of life. Any circumstances take place, we have to have answers and solutions. You can't go say, no, let me think about it. And no, the answers are in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah, in the fatwa verdicts of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and you go to the four schools. So what you have to do, you have to break it up a little bit. It's like this now. And with this science here, you have to include another science, another discipline. I'll explain to you. ABC husband divorced his wife, all right? So now, whatever the circumstances, whatever the divorce took place. And now, just to make life easy, there was one son, one daughter. Now they're minors, 2 years, 4 years, 3 years, 6 years old. They're all minors. Now what happens? So there's ijma, that and consensus, that she, the mother, will get the right of custody. Because that is the time they need the motherly care, hadana. I just told you that the mother, that hadana means you embrace the person and you welcome the person. So they need that motherly touch, the kiss of the mother, the embrace of the mother, and the tasalli the mother only can give. Who can give all that? Only a mother, not the father. So therefore, Islam, every law, if you study of Islam, is a natural system. So then if it's a boy, at the age of 7, we stop. So now we will tell that lady, now your time is finished, and now the custody will go to the father. That is the Hanafi school only. Don't make mix up, it's only Hanafi school. So now Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, they bring the son 7 years old. This is your father, this is your mother, where you want to go? So where you want to go? We ask the boy, the son, where you want to go? He say, I'll stay with mother, he stay with mother. He say, I go by father, stay with father. But he's a small boy. So after 1 month, he said, I don't like. So now he say, I don't like my mother. So you go by father, you see. And then father gave him one shot, shouted him, he say, I don't like father, I go by mother. So wherever he likes, so we take him there. But remember, you, the society who are mas'ul, responsible, must always look at maslahatul awlad. Not they like the father because the father is taking them all haram places. Father is taking them to the cinema, taking them to the casino, taking them to there, show them this and this. So in that kind of cases, where the father is an open fasiq fajir, you must remember, openly is trampling the laws of Islam. He don't even read salat, for example. So remember that, so he's disqualified. So he no more has haqqul hadana. We must understand these things properly. So you call this takhir. So at the age of 7, at-takhiru lil-walad, there will be the choice for that young boy that he must choose. And he can choose this one, that one, go here, and all that. But the elders of the family must see what is beneficial and advantageous for this boy for now and the future. You see, you call it maslahatul awlad, so that what is beneficial and best. Hanafis say, no, it goes to the father. Hanafis, there's no takhir. Right? We got that. So there's no choice. You go with the father. But the father himself must be straight, not a crooked chap. He don't read salat. He's busy with drugs, alcohol, busy with the TV, mobile, all that, day and night. Father got girlfriends and mistress and what, you know. So obviously, all those cases is disqualified. Then he don't get custody. So that is one side of the scenario. What happens in the case of a girl? We told you there's one son, there's one daughter. So remember, at the age of 9. So remember that then the child will go, according to Hanafis, the fatwa is 9 years old. So some ulama among the Hanafis said, in the lahith, when her menses starts. So, but anyway, normal fatwa, they give 9 years old. Some say 10 and all that because of menses or 11. But the normal fatwa is normally on 9. So 9 years old, then she, that daughter, will go to the father, you see. But according to Shafi's Ambali, again takhir will take place. That way she wants to go. So you must remember that. She wants to go to the father, father. She wants to go to the mother, mother, and all this type of thing. But that father, mother who got custody, you see, this is another huge, big problem nowadays. So what they do, so now the first 7 years, let's just say 7 years, the custody is by the mother. So this mother wants to be vindictive. This mother wants to be manipulating, you see. So the child is ma'asum, is impressionable at that time. So she makes zehen sazi. She brainwashes the child. Your father did this, your father did this, your father was a bad man, he used to assault me, he used to hit me, he used to hate you and thus. So for the mother to poison the child's mind with propaganda, lies, fabrication, is haram that, remember this. And I'll explain to you what are the ramifications and consequences. By the same token, when the custody goes to the father, for him to go and poison the mind of the children, they might be baligh, or the son is still not baligh, he's 7 years old. The earliest in Islam, the boy becomes baligh and mature is 12, and 12 lunar years. And the earliest the girl becomes baligha is 9 lunar years. So remember, now the father is busy. Yeah, your mother is good for nothing. Your mother had an affair. Your mother did this. Your mother did this. Now half the things, or more than half, is lying. But in the interim, he's breaking the child, the cell. You know, I'm a teacher with Allah's help, you know. So when I used to teach, I could tell you straight away, this chap comes here from a good family, or he comes from a broken family. You just had to make eye contact, and you could see the sadness in the child. That, you know, they never had that motherly love, or fatherly love, or so forth and so on. So, you know, broken families and so, it has a terrible negative impact on the child, remember. We don't realize, therefore Islam said, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, reconciliation is the best. ہمارا کام جورنا ہے نہ کہ توڑنا. We must make the home, not break the home. So that is what Islam teaches. I mean, sometimes now you can't help, it's different. But normally we should try that. Now carry on with this topic. So now what happens is this, that child, now you brainwashed him. So now, when the time comes, visitation and so forth, now you don't allow, their child don't want to go to the father. Why you don't want to go to father? Because the mother brainwashed the child so much. Or the father brainwashed the child so much. So now you don't want to go to the mother. So what are we doing? So remember to see Quran. Quran is Allah's kalam for all times, all places, all circumstances. Surah 47, verses 22-23. See, just look at the Quran. In tawallaytum, when you have authority, and tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth. وَتُقَتِّئُ أَرْحَامَكُمْ, you made the child, biological child, hate his mother. You made the child hate his father. You see? So that is what we did. Now when you did that, now the child don't want to go. How many children today, they can't remember when last your mother, they saw their father. So all these adopted children, I'm asking you, how many of them, they know who's their father? But now they change the surname to their adopted father's name, which is absolutely haram already. Surah 33, verse 5. Ud'uhum li'abaim, you must call them by the biological father, even after adoption, not the adopted father's name. Haram that. So, man intasaba ila ghayri ahli abihi, fa alayhi la'anatullah wal malaika wal nasi ajmain. Go open Musnad Ahmad Kanzul Ummal. When you make your nasab and lineage to someone besides your father, Allah Ta'ala's curse is on you, the angel's curse is on you, the people's curse is on you. Islam is there, lisiyanatil ansab. To protect, you must remember the lineage, not to adulterate that lineage. Ikhtilatul ansab is not jais in Islam. So understand the beauty. So now what are the ramifications? That you never saw your father, you never saw your... But they're there, you know where they are. But now they got adopted by a famous family. They got adopted by a rich family. Hey, go man, I feel ashamed of you. You're so poor and you're not famous. You see the mindset. So, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah Ta'ala's curse is on them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ, Allah makes them spiritually deaf. وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, spiritually blind. So that is where we are failing today. Now you see father running to court, mother running to court, and in the interim the lawyers are getting rich all the time. So that is a big, big problem we are facing nowadays.
Inshallah, we'll take a break now and continue after this break.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, صوت مركز الصحابة.
segment. Mufti Sahab, what happens if or till what age must the father support the son and the daughter?
Remember that whether the marriage is still subsisting, the husband and wife are still husband and wife, or whether it is divorce and no one party got custody, the law remains the same. There's different thing. Our parents are so good to us that they continue. So let's break it up and explain to you. The owner's responsibility is on the father that he must sustain, maintain his daughter till the time she gets married. So if you study Islam, you will see the daughter is receiving, ay min al mahdi ila al-lahdi, from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave. That from the day she is born, and before that also, when the wife had to go to the gynecologist and all that, all the expenses, the father was paying, the husband was paying. And thereafter he gave birth, so she gave birth, and now he had to continue paying and all that. So remember that, so all that. So till she gets married. And when she gets married, till maut, who's responsible? The husband is responsible. So if you take from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, so you must remember, min al-mahdi ila al-lahdi, that the lady in Islam is receiving. She don't have to spend. She don't have to spend on a husband. She don't have to spend on her children. That's a different thing. On from the goodness of her heart, she spends on her husband. Oh, husband, oh, darling, oh, honey. And we encourage that. But the point I'm asking is it compulsory upon her? Is it mandatory upon her? No, it's not compulsory. Is it compulsory upon her to spend on her children? No, it's not compulsory. But from the goodness of her heart, she does it. Remember that. And then from the son, remember that the father is only responsible from the time the baby is born. Till you must remember he's 15, 16 years old. I went after that, 17 and so forth, to overseas. And you know, the Mormon organizations, all that, when they heard about it, they came and they spoke to my father, and then my father said no. And I'm so happy about that, you know. So he said, "Is my son, I don't accept bursary, I don't accept scholarship, nothing. I will pay for everything." And he paid for everything. So now how you can forget? That's the thing I can't understand. Now the problem we have today is this, 80% of students, 70% of students, that is not the father pays, they just pay zakat. You understood? They went to Maulvi Sahib and asked Maulvi Sahib, that Maulvi Sahib, that now my son, he's 17 years old, 16, 18 years in Darul Uloom, is it compulsory for me to pay? He said, no, it's not compulsory. So then he says now, that how much wealth he got? He said, he got nothing, but he just got his clothes and his watch. He said, no, give him zakat. Now, is that the right policy? Is a wrong policy that? You must remember this. So now, you let him study with zakat, right? Then he opens madrasa, then he goes and collects zakat. Then after that, he goes and make a dry cleaning business. You know dry cleaning business, Molana? Dry cleaning is hila business. So now they collect zakat, 1 million. And then they put it through the dry cleaners. They will give the student the money and tell him, if you got money, what you'll do? He say, I'll give Darul Uloom, I'll give madrasa. So they give him 50,000, 100,000 zakat. After half an hour, 1 minute, 15 minutes, he give it back. So now it become lilla money. So then Maulvi Sahib pull out his new car, build his new house, he's gone for umrah and hajj. So how we run the system, and I don't say all now, but that is what is happening nowadays. So that is totally, we against all these things here. So all these hilas and loopholes and skaldakhari and is not acceptable, remember that. So the point I'm making is this, that the father should rather say that I will pay, all be it is not compulsory upon him, you see. But that child will become your greatest asset. You must remember, if your intention is good and so forth. So that is where we are regarding the nafaqa. So you must understand that falls under the chapter of nafaqa, of maintenance and expenditure and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, what happens if a person who has custody of a child, they go on a trip or a journey far overseas?
Say for example, now this lady here, the mother, now she has to go for a trip. Her father told her that, you know what, come, I'll take you for hajj. But now they don't allow children. For example, I'm just saying, You understand? And the child now is 4, 5, 6 years old. So then you must remember anyone in her family who's responsible. For example, the grandmother, the nanima, you understood? Her mother's mother, they can look after, or her khala, her mother's sister. So you must remember al-khala to be manzilatil You see, I was telling you just now that this whole issue of hadana is related to the Babul Miras, the chapter on inheritance. You did a little bit by me that inheritance. So you must remember that we have Zawil Furuz, whose shares are stipulated and specified by Allah Himself, by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quranic heirs, we call them. Then you have Asaba. So who are the Asaba and so forth? So now when you come to this thing, the child, now the husband died and so forth and so on. So who will have Haqqul Hadan, the mother? Then you go her family, her mother, her sister, all of them like that and so forth. Like the Nani, the maternal grandmother, will have more rights than the Pupi, than the father's sister. You see, and this type of things there. So these are things, they call that tartibul hadana, tartibul asaba, and so forth. So there's a whole system there that you need to follow and so forth. But this is in a nutshell, that's what I just told you now. So that is how it will work. So, and obviously she can't be, you'll understand, just running around gallivanting every week, say I'm going here, no. Where there's absolute need, necessity, like hajj or something, then it's different like that. Another masla also, Allah just put in my head now. You see this lady who's got custody, right? Mm. She has custody. So she will be, she'll have custody 100%. But Nabi alayhi salam's authentic hadith, Abu Dawood, Musnad Ahmad, and that, anti ahaqqu bihi, that you, the mother, you are more deserving of this child. Ma lam tankihi, provided that you don't marry. You see, now her husband, so divorced her, so he's out of the equation. So now she gets married. Now we must see who she gets married to. If she marries, for example, the ex-husband's brother, so then she will still maintain, you must remember the right why. Because that person there is the chacha, is the uncle of this child, isn't it so? Father's brother. Al-ammu sinwu abi, so the paternal uncle, the chacha, the kaka takes the place of the father. But she got married to a total stranger, what we call stepfather now. So that stepfather will not have that compassion and kindness and that for this child. So Islam looks at that, now she will be disqualified. You see, when she married a total ajnabi person. So see again the beauty of Islam, that it was your choice, you married, fine, Islam is not going to tell you you can't marry, but you will have to forfeit your child, and night will go to your mother or grandmother or this, and if there's nobody, then it will go to the father's family, like that. Because we need somebody to take care with love, then that, with affection, with compassion of that, so maslahatul awlad. So all these are the underlying factors we have to look at.
Mufti Sahib, what about visitation rights?
Remember, visitation rights is ma tarada bihita tarafain. So it means that or tarafan, that what both parties amicably agree upon. So now, when she's got for the first 7 years, let's say for the boy, or first 9 years for the girl, and so forth. So in a case like that, you must remember what will happen is that then she can't say, you got no visitation rights. You see today what our ladies do. I know of examples like that. Now the divorce was very bad. All the dirty linen washed in public and all that. So now the lady is bitter. The lady's family are also bitter. Now they want that revenge. And Shaitan also comes and he puts, you know, spokes in the wheels. So he say, okay, we're going to fix you up. So they take their 2, 3, 4, 5 children. The lineage, everything, the child is registered on the father's name. Now they go and they register the child away on the mother's name. Do you know what you are doing? You're telling the world that all these children are harami children. In Islam, the only time you register the child on the mother's name is when they're haram children, they are bees, illegitimate children. So look at it. But what was the real catalyst? What was the real reason? Was the hatred and the revenge. You see, therefore Quran taught us, even with the Jutlas, even with the Hindus or whoever, Quran said they are worst enemy. Surah 5 verse 82, لَتَجِدَنَّا أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودُ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You can't make a blanket statement, hey, every Jew, every Hindu, that's wrong. Quran says لَيْسُ سَوَاءً. You can say majority, you see. So we must be very careful in these things here. When the hatred of people, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَعَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. But people you hate also, you must do justice with them. That is what Quran is teaching us. So our people, sometimes they all totally mixed up in this. And the best part, the elders sometimes urge them on to do all these haram things. How many times I tell them, what you're doing is absolutely haram. They say, no, we know better. We will give Allah answer. What you worrying? You see? Just see the arrogance. When you tell them, ittaqillah, akhazathu al-izzatu bil-ithmi fahasbu jahannam. That pride and arrogance get the better of them, and then they say no. So that is how today Muslim, never mind non-Muslim. So let's go on now. So in a case like this, visitation will be, you see, Quran uses one, everything of Quran is miracle, obviously, but Quran uses this miracle word, ma'ruf. The urf from time to time will change. You must remember, in this country, in this city, in this continent, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Surah 4 verse 19. Treat your wives, your children, all with what? With justice, with love, with respect, and so forth, and harmony. And so that is what we must. So what is the norm in that area there? So that amount of visitation rights you must give, and so forth. Now today we face with big problem. What is the problem I'm highlighting? Because we live in non-Muslim country. But today, non-Muslim country, we have more rights than Muslim country and Arab country, majority of them. So you must remember, this Mota husband, he tells her, I'm fed up. I'm unemployed. I don't have job. I can't pay maintenance for the children. You see, child children. So you say, okay, you don't want to pay? I'll fix you up. So what she say? No more visitation rights for you. You see. So that also is wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. Hadith in Tirmidhi, وَلَا تَخُونْ مَنْ خَانَكْ. If somebody did you wrong, you can't say, I'm going to do you wrong in an unjust manner. You understood? So yeah, that person, if somebody you gave 1,000 rand, he don't want to pay, you get hold of something of his or her 1,000 and you take the charge. But that is a just manner. But in an unjust manner, this is unjust, that he is the father of the child, and you don't want to give him the right of visitation, so you want the children. One day I was in a plane, let me just mention this. I was in a plane, and a non-Muslim lady was sitting next to me, African lady. So she started asking me about Islam and all that. So I asked her how many children she got. So she said 3 or 4, whatever. So I asked her, how many husbands? Like she said 2 or 3 or boyfriend. So I said that what happens when your child grows up? That if they ask, where's the father? You see, very easy. We just take him to the graveyard and say, there's your father, he's buried there. You see? Now, who can debate with that issue now? Just lies. You know? Just take any grave, say, there's your father, he's buried there. You understand? Now the son, you must remember that he'll say, okay, my father died now. But that's not the truth. You must remember these type of things here. So the point we're making here is that you can't say because he didn't pay maintenance, you won't allow visitation rights. You understand? Yes, the father is on drugs, the father don't read salat, the father don't do this, all that, go all haram places. So still he's entitled to visitation rights, but he won't be able to take the son, daughter to his house and keep them there. Because the environment is so toxic and so forth. But you can't say no, you must cut off ties completely. He's the father after all. So you must remember this, the child must know who's his father. Allah Ta'ala can give hidayat afterwards, that is Allah Ta'ala. So we must always promote that. Wasilul arham. This is wasilul arham. Join the family ties and so forth. See, last question.
Mufti Sahab, who pays for the medication?
Remember, all the expenses will be paid for by the father, biological father. So when it is the daughter, that whether she's small, whether she's young, whether she's baligha, so till marriage, all by the father. And after that, by the husband. And second one, if the boy, then, you understand, he's 5 years old, 2 years old, 10 years old, so all by the father till the age of 15, 16. Thereafter, when he pays, then that is mimbabil ihsan. He is just doing a favor. You must remember that because of his love for his son. But you can't impose it upon him because now it's no more obligatory upon him. So today you look at our sons, they are 16, 18, sitting on their laurels, playing, thinking of Hadi and all that. They got the best cell phone, they got this, but they never work. So we must get this ummah into the culture of working. Remember that. See, I give you just 4 or 5 quick ones. How many of our children are really prepared to do farming? 0. 1%, 5%. And farming is encouraged in Islam. How many of our children are prepared to do plumbing? 0. 1%, 2%, 5%. How many of our children are prepared to do carpentry? Very few. How many of our children are prepared to do building? Building or construction is a multi-billion industry, you understand? But we just want to sit and become, you know, sit on a nice lazy boy and collect money, money, money. So we must become proactive. That is what is required and so forth. So you can serve the ummah and all this. So take all these examples, Najjar, so carpenter and so forth. So Anbiya alayhimus salam, they were carpenters and so forth. So all these are big, big lessons for all of us. Okay, inshallah, jazakallah khair to you, Mozaid. 12 o'clock, we have the news with Brother Suleiman Esop. Thereafter, the festive season is not for Muslims. Mona Ridwan Kaji. 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, and thereafter we start the new surah, Surah Nazi'at. Inshallah Aziz, today verses 1 to 14, 130 to 2, Surah Mu'min, chapter 40, verses 30 to 37, 2 to 3, current affairs, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3, 35, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, very interesting, mashallah. 3:35 to 4 will be, well, when the fitna is surrounding us, what must we do? By Maulana Ilyas Patel, between 3:35 and 4, Maulana Ilyas is from Durban, mashallah. 4 to 5 will be Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki tawazu, the humility of the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri. 5 to 7 Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 the repeat of the tafsir of Surah Nazi'at, and 7:30 to 8 Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10 discussion Maulana Arafat Atiya and Maulana Salim Karim. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahab for this interesting lesson, and to all our listeners of Sirius FM in Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. We head on for the news now with Brother Suleiman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.